FCC goes to Hollywood.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. The five members of the Federal Communications Commission come to Los Angeles today for a public hearing. It's the first in a series to take place across the country on media ownership. Media companies want more freedom to buy more outlets in a single market. But as Sarah Gardner reports, consumer activists and unions are a bit turned off.
In 2003, the FCC tried to relax restrictions on media ownership, but was slapped down by the courts. So the commission's starting over again. Today's hearing is the first of six to be held around the country. In Los Angeles, the FCC will hear everyone from Hollywood union reps to broadcasters to consumer activists. The Consumer Federation of America's Mark Cooper says he'll argue media consolidation is hurting news coverage.
We find that media mergers are, in fact, not in the public interest, will harm diversity, and the FCC shouldn't allow them to take place.
But many broadcasters and publishers argue that current rules limiting media ownership are outdated, especially given the proliferation of news sources on the internet and cable. Today's hearing comes amid allegations that the commission suppressed a draft study on the media 2 years ago. That report suggested further media consolidation could hurt local TV news coverage. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Across the Atlantic, that anti-internet betting bill that Congress passed in the wee hours of Saturday morning still has a lot of folks mad. One of the UK's biggest internet gaming firms is accusing Congress of protectionism. Sportingbet says the bill really aims to keep foreign companies away from the American jackpot. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Sportingbet says the bill passed by Congress at the weekend will mostly hit non-US operators. The company says American internet firms taking bets on horse racing or running lotteries or interstate gambling will remain legal. It claims the object is clear, to end the largely British domination of a $12 billion a year industry. Damien Rees, the financial editor of the Daily Telegraph, says Sportingbet is right. The new bill will allow US gambling companies to grab the lion's share of the internet betting market.
They have great marketing power. They'd be able to use their established gaming brands and really cash in on what is clearly a very popular pastime in America.
Currently, Americans are reckoned to spend up to $7 billion a year on internet betting. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You can find a knockoff Coach bag on any street in New York City, but you wouldn't expect to come across one at, say, a Target. Neither did Coach, but it says that's exactly what happened at one location in Florida. Coach says it found an exact replica for $200. It even had the brand's signature C pattern. So the high-end bag maker has decided to sue for $1 million and some info about where that bag was made. Target claims the bag is the real deal. This is Marketplace. Take an extra nickel with you on your Starbucks run. Its coffee prices go up by 5 cents today, the first price hike in 2 years. Stacey Vanek-Smith takes a sip.
That half-calf no-whip white chocolate grande I smoke up might taste a little less grande this morning. Today, Starbucks is jacking up the price of its best-selling brew. The Java giant points to healthcare costs and pricey fuel. It might sound like a risky move. There's no lack of competition in the coffee business. But Bevmark Consulting's Tom Perko isn't worried. After all, Starbucks pretty much invented the $4 cup of joe.
They were able to push the price of coffee up to a level that was unthinkable. They have tremendous flexibility because they're not really selling coffee. They're selling Starbucks.
And just in case you don't think 5 cents can make much of a difference, consider this. Starbucks brews 227 million gallons of coffee a day. That's about 1.8 billion grandes. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the world's toughest shredders. More at Fellows.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. Let's do the numbers. Record? What record? The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 8 points yesterday, less than 0.1%. It closed at 11,670. The NASDAQ dropped 0.29% to end at 2237. And the S&P 500 fell 4 points, or 0.3%, to 1331. And we'll start getting numbers today from automakers on how many cars they sold in the U.S. last month. One analyst expects sales of mid-size SUVs to jump as much as 15% in September, and that's mainly due to falling gas prices. The average price of a gallon of unleaded has dropped almost 70 cents since August 1st. Let's face it, gas prices are on a lot of minds when it's time to make a big decision, and there's a lot of talk out there about gas prices tumbling just in time for midterm elections on November 7. Humorist Tim Bedore says the conspiracy theorists may have something going on.
I saw a CNN story online the other day about how the blogosphere is buzzing with speculation that gas prices are being manipulated downward by the Bush administration, because when gas prices go down, Bush's approval ratings go up, and so do the chances of the Republicans holding on to Congress after the midterms. In the CNN report, oil industry experts said the president could not significantly alter the price of gas at the pump, even if he wanted to. But they never explained why gas prices have gone down. Well, shouldn't they know? CNN speculated on possible reasons. The summer driving season is over. There haven't been any hurricanes. We're not at war with Iran. Yes, the reporter actually used the, "we were about to go to war with Iran, but when we didn't go to war with Iran, the oil industry climbed down off the ceiling and dropped their, we're so nervous because we might go to war with Iran, prices of oil prices." Shouldn't these oil industry experts CNN talked to have a firmer idea why gas prices have recently gone down? Because whenever gas prices go up, these same industry experts have all the uncontrovertible, we can't do anything about it reasons why that happened. Oh yeah, it was a pipeline rotting out in Alaska. The refineries on the Gulf Coast are still offline after Katrina. There are continuing problems in Iraq, and the potential for war with Iran has the market nervous, so our prices have to go up. Well, all those past prices have gone up reasons still exist, and gas prices have gone down. The reporter gave one totally unsupported bit of speculation about why the oil industry has dropped the price of gas that was very interesting. He said the oil industry fears if Democrats take over the Congress, they will go through with their promise to tax those recent tens of billions of dollars in record oil industry profits. And to me, that explains the situation as well as anything. And when gas prices go creeping back up after the November election because we haven't become best friends with Iran and the hurricane season looks like it could be bad and the Pope made another inflammatory remark about Muslims and Mercury is in retrograde, then you'll know the bloggers weren't totally out there in the psychosphere.
That's funny man Tim Bedore. And in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Here's how outsourcing.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.